and to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Hi, y'all. It's Thursday again. Already. It's amazing how fast time is going by, and I don't know why. It's like the sun is just coming up. Going around the earth, going down, back around the earth, and around and around and around. Amazing. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy. Are emotions necessary? Are emotions necessary? Are emotions necessary? An amazing question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And you can also listen to the show live if you're, like, busy and you can't just sit and watch it as it's happening. Of course, you podcast. But no matter what you're doing or where you are or whatever, you can be listening to the show, sitting up at a beach, exercising, whatever. You can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. Amazing, huh? Yep.
What the?
You can still be listening. You don't have to miss a thing. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com, and we are going to get to all of your calls. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Amazing, huh? So, it is Thursday. And for the new listener who might not be aware of what happens on Thursday, we take all calls. But we take the Bible Thumper calls first. We take all calls. Because we get a lot of Bible Thumpers calling the show. And have been doing it over the years, calling the show. And I like to have a little time for the Bible Thumpers. It's harder to have so much time for them during the weekdays. And so, but I like having time for them trying to have, because Bible Thumpers are constantly from one scripture to another scripture to another scripture. They don't really communicate or hear the conversation happening. They're already in their intellect thinking about the next scripture. So I try to set aside a time to work with them, because the Bible thumper need help too. The Bible thumpers need love. What the? So we take all calls, all right? But every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
The sign outside the New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham reads, "A black vote for Trump is mental illness."
I am the daughter of two pastors.
You will emerge from that as an atheist.
President Joe Biden is only the second Catholic president.
The Pope is like, if you don't. They call him the Holy Father. Ain't nothing holy about the Pope.
God, why? Why George God?
Holy mackerel. I can't believe you people follow a man. Bible Thumper Thursday. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's important, too, that we have Bible Thumping Thursday. We take all calls, but it's important that we have Bible Thumping Thursday because the Bible Thumpers have been so deceived by their preachers and parents and others about the Bible, and they're so stuck into the Bible that they can't find their way back to the Father. They can't find their way back to the Father. And they have all these false beliefs about the Father and about the Bible. Bible thumpers really believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They truly believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And then in believing that, they are blind to that intellectual knowledge, that they can't see that their lives are no better. And so, and because they see that their lives are still, they're still in misery, and they're no better, their lives are still in hell. But what they do is they make up excuses for it. Well, we're human. We are not perfect. We're this, we're that. It's going to happen when you get to heaven. They have identified with being human. And they have accepted the lie that you might as well just suffer on heaven, on earth as well. You might as well just suffer, they say. And they suffer just along with the people who don't, quote-unquote, believe about God or in God. They have the same misery. Nothing changed at all. And they hold on to that, too, because they're in the intellect, and the intellect is evil. And they even believe things about the Bible that's not even in the Bible. They believe they have a free will. They believe that they have to study the Bible to put it in their mind in order for it to, I guess, enter it. I don't know what they think with that. But they think studying the Bible, somehow they're going to be proved worthy, whatever that means. It's just a mess, and I do understand it. They've been lied to by their parents, their preachers, their teachers. They have been lied to by the world. And once you are lied to, it's hard for most people. For most, but not all, not all, not all, but most. It's hard for them to overcome the lie. It really is. Because you believed into it. And you have not believed into the truth. You believed into the lie. And another thing I noticed about the Bible thumpers, and I don't know what, I've never met one Bible thumper that did not have hatred in their hearts. I have not met one Bible thumper in my, in the last 33 years, 34, 35 years, that did not have anger in their hearts. Their hearts are filled with hatred. But yet they say they are born again of God. And they know the Bible. They can quote the Bible until the cows come home. They can quote the Bible up and down the street, at work, everywhere. And yet their hearts are wicked. They have anger. They're judgmental. Their nature has not changed. And they don't even question that. What a sad way to live. And when they say that they have a free will, they believe they have a free will, but they won't will themselves to be free. If you got a free will yourself out of your hell. Will yourself never to be a fear again. And I'm not talking about fear of walking across the road or fear in the hood. I'm talking about fear within. Will yourself to have love even for your enemy. If you think you got a little will there. And they'll fight you on that too. They're like nasty about it. So we're going to deal with some of that today, all that stuff. 888-7753-773. But first I want to tell you this, just a little headline news stuff going on. Some of you know, well, most of you guess, I guess now, that you know that the Great White Hope has been in a so-called trial there in New York for a minute. And so finally they have, quote-unquote, turned the case over to the jury for them to decide, and we're going to get to all your calls here in a minute. Somebody going to answer the phone. Don't worry about it. I'm throwing off now. So they've turned it over, the case over to the jury for them to decide. And according to the reports I heard yesterday, the jury wants some more information. They got to repeat all the information over again. And it's going to be interesting because the trial is in New York. New York is a liberal state. And at this point, I don't think anyone really knows what the jury is going to come up with, what their decisions will be. And that's what I always tell you, to have a wait-and-see attitude about everything. Don't jump ahead. Just observe. Don't jump ahead. Just wait and see. And the hardest thing for the ego to do is to have a wait-and-see attitude. To have a wait and see attitude. Wait and see in life, period. You're not supposed to live in the past or the future. Have a wait and see. A lot of people are afraid to go and forgive their mothers. They want to forgive, but they're scared. And they say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. She might get upset, or she might cry, or I might hurt her feeling. Or she might die. I'm like, wait and see. She might not do any of those things. And if she does, it's on her. Have a wait and see. So we don't know what's going to happen in this whole trial thing with the Great White Hope. But I can tell you, so far, the way that the Great White Hope, Donald Trump, carry himself and deal with the issues of life, in his life, his issues, those issues that come to his life, is absolutely amazing. It's amazing to watch how he deal with things. And the beauty is, if you don't overreact, you can deal with the same things in your life in the same way. And one other story. So we're waiting to see how the They say we should know something. Well, today is Thursday, I guess, about tomorrow or early next week. But they say we should know something this week. At least they are hoping that. But we'll see. And according to all the report, the judge of this case with the Great White Hope and the DA and all them, it's all about getting Donald Trump at any cost. And they say that this thing has been so out of control and mishandled and not done right because they don't care. They just want Donald Trump. Donald Trump is one white man that is in the way and preventing the enemies of America from a total takeover. From a total takeover to turn it into a socialist society. Just imagine if we can find at least 10 more white men who would stand in the way that Donald Trump, meaning with patience, endurance, just dealing with it, not whining about it, not afraid. America would be saved. But most people have fear they're not going to do it. And one other quick thing that I want to share with you about what's happening in my country. There is something called the insurrection. I don't know what that is. Insurrectionist in the Supreme Court. So apparently, Samuel Alito, the Supreme Court Justice, insurrection flag controversy is happening. And according to this report, and we're going to get to all your calls, just hold up. According to this report, a letter to recuse from Senator Durbin and White House alleged conflict of interest concerning Trump's 2020 election. So the court have to make some decisions concerning the so-called insurrection and the whole Donald Trump thing. And the courts are going to be making decisions. The children of the lie want this judge, because he is a conservative judge, and they don't want anyone who is a conservative to be a part of it, because they want Trump out. They want him out. And they know that this judge is one of the most top two most fair justices. And they don't want you to be fair. Why do you think they put that black woman on the court? U.S. Supreme Court. She's not qualified. She was just black. They don't want her to be fair. They want them to be on up there to be unfair. If she had been a fair black female, she would not have even been on the court. They want Trump. They want him, and they want him now. When do they want him? Now. How do they want him? Now. They want him now. So they've written this letter and said, hey, we want this guy to recuse himself. But he said he's not going to do it. He gave them the finger. He gave them the finger right on. CNN is reporting that Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito told lawmakers in a letter Wednesday that he will not recuse from cases, despite concerns about his controversial flag. So apparently, according to the story, the judge has a wife, and it doesn't sound like he's the head of his wife, but he has a wife. And according to the story, the wife, Judge Samuel Alito's wife, is a flag lover. She has all kind of flags over around her house and things like that, according to a report. And she has one of those flags turned upside down. And because, according to the story, there are neighbors in the neighborhood don't like all those flags on the house. Especially American flag. What the? And so she turned the flag upside down so that they're, like, having this argument going on about the flag. And the judge said he can't tell his wife what to do. Yeah, but he can't tell his wife what to do. Apparently, he's not the head of his wife. But that's what the flag thing is all about. But the liberals, those who hate America, they don't care what the real deal is. They just want all conservative out. They want you out so they can rule the world. They want to rule the world. And I was wondering, and I had planned to talk to Hake about this. Is there a time, and I think there has been, where conservatives were totally in control and the conservatives did not go along with the liberals because they know the liberals are evil? And is there a time when conservative Republicans were in control and they did not go along with it, no matter how the liberals got upset? They didn't go along with it. Has that ever happened in America? Because these right-o Republicans, they go along with everything that the Democrats want. And I think because they agree with them. So Hate said he doesn't know. Have the conservative Republicans ever control and then go along with the liberal? Upside down flag is a sign of distress. Oh, yeah, I remember the anchor baby telling me that this morning. A sign of distress. People fly it to show America is in distress. So maybe this man's wife is in distress. Sammy's wife is. What the? Here is MSNBC, the timeline on the flag controversy. Watch this.
2 weeks ago, the New York Times broke the story that the Alitos had an upside-down American flag, a symbol of the January 6th insurrection, flying over their home in the days after January 6th. Justice Alito responded by pointing the finger at his wife, Martha Ann, saying she flew the flag as part of a dispute with neighbors. Then the Times discovered yet another flag associated with the insurrection flying at Justice Alito's vacation home. Alito did not immediately offer an explanation. Now today, Justice Alito has broken his silence on that second flag, once again pointing to his wife and declaring that he will not recuse himself from any January 6th related cases. In two letters to Democrats in Congress, Justice Alito writes, "My wife is fond of flying flags. I am not. A reasonable person who is not motivated by political or ideological considerations or a desire to affect the outcome of Supreme Court cases would conclude that this event does not meet the applicable standard for recusal."
Amazing. So I hope you stand your ground, Judge, because they want Trump out and they ain't going to stop. And plus, what do you mean 2 minutes, James? Oh, I see. And plus, the Democrats don't care about the flag anyway. They burn the flag. They take down the American flag and put up foreign flags in our country. Ukraine flags and all. They don't care about the flag being upside down or whatever. They don't even love America. They don't respect the American flag, period. They burn it. They step on it. They walk on it. They don't care that their flag is upside down. What they care about is getting Trump out of there. they care about getting the great white hope out. And they'll yell and they'll scream and they'll carry it on and they get violent and they do everything. I remember when the Black Lives Matter thing happened, when there was an insurrection about America by Black Lives Matter, and some of the judges were threatened. A couple of the judges, at least, according to the report, were threatened. The Democrats didn't care about that at all. Zero. Not at all. They didn't care. The human heart is evil. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Georgia and talk to Chris. Chris, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. Thanks for everything you do, Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Fine job. I wanted to make one comment about, I'm not an actual Bible thumper, although I was raised up in Southern Baptist churches all my life, and we were in church every time the doors were open. My mother put me there. So, but growing up, you know, there was a lot of things in that denomination that I didn't understand or didn't agree with, and I think that we just kind of accept it as, well, we just don't know because we're not smart enough, or God, it's above us, and we don't understand it because it's godly. Kind of like the fact whenever they talk about the Word was with God and the Word was God. Then they turn around and say the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the only thing that ever really made sense to me was that the Word, I always took it as the truth. It was more or less of the truth versus the Word. And when you look at it from that point of view, it's, you know, when it became flesh and dwelt among us, it was it makes more sense to me because when Jesus came, he brought the truth versus people saying that Jesus was the Word, if that makes any sense.
And your question for me is what?
That was one comment I just wanted to make for you because, I hear people and they always tend to go to, after you explain it to them, they tend to go to the fact that it's like they're making up things where they say that, when Jesus came to earth, it was God and he was flesh, so he wasn't divine or whatever. But that's all made up to me. That don't make any sense at all whatsoever. And I just want to get your take on that.
The take on what?
If you agree with that they're just making up things whenever they say that whenever Jesus came, he was actually God in the flesh.
They're totally making that up. They're living in their intellect, which is hell. And they have believed the preachers who told them that. They believe their mamas who told them that. And it's just all intellectual knowledge. And once they believe that lie, unless they want to know the truth, you're not going to be able to convince them that what they have believed is a lie.
Okay, that makes sense. I just
want
to make sure I was on the same page with that.
Yeah, no, it's not true at all. But again, that's why it's not good to argue with anyone about the truth. Because if they want to believe the lie, you should leave them in their hell, leave them in their lie, and let them suffer. Don't try to convince anyone of the truth.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. All right, well, one more quick comment before I let you go. I know you got a lot to get to. I've been listening to you for about 2 months. I called a few weeks back and was telling you that my wife, I know you have 1,000 calls, you don't remember, but
I have books,
my wife,
that
hit me in the back of the head.
Hold on, buddy. Hold on. 888-77. I didn't hear that at all.
Family, financial success guy. Even if you're not
back in a moment,
folks, business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right?
for rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. The blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663. Bible Thump of Thursday. 888-773-773. 888-77-JESSE. Couple announcements. The Haik Report is coming up at the top of this hour. James Haik has a very, very interesting show. It's like, it's so interesting to me. I don't quite understand it. But it's interesting. It gets my attention. You know what I mean? Y'all need to check it out. And from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. Sorry about that out. It was terrible out there. I didn't hear the music, blah, blah, blah. From 9 to 11 a.m., he is on fire. From 9 to 11, you don't want to miss it. And then at 11 a.m., Joel Friday TV, he black. And what a mess. He black. You don't want to miss that. Mending Relationships, Joel Friday TV. And you can podcast all the shows, too, in case you miss some of them and you wonder what is Jesse talking about. You can podcast them. Also, the American Anchor Baby at 12 noon Pacific time, except on Fridays at 4 p.m. The American Anchor Baby, energy given to him by God. Natural, a genius. He has a family, too. You never imagine that the American Anchor Baby have a real live human being family. Not extraterrestrial folks. These are human beings. And if you doubt it, you can podcast my show. I had them up. They were here visiting from Canada a week ago, give or take. Was it about a week ago, Anchor Baby? About a week or so ago. And I had them on the show. It was an amazing show with them. So you're going to discover that the Anchor Baby was not made in a lab. He has a family, a nice family, too. What the? 888-775-3773. Chris from Georgia is gone. Chris, you can call back. I don't know what happened. I know you had another question. Let me go to George, and I'm going to get you a super chat as well. George out of, Jeff, not George. Chris hung up from Georgia. I was talking to Chris. Let me go to Jeff out of Georgia. Georgia, oh, my, my. Jeff, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hey, Jeff. No, Jeff. Going once, going twice. gone. No doubt. Let me go to, there's a line open, 888-775-3773. Let me go to Rhonda, a first-time caller out of Sweet Home, Alabama. Rhonda, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to reiterate on the Bible thumpers. There's a lot of us that do believe in Jesus.
Are you a Bible thumper?
I'm not a Bible thumper in the sense of knowing every scripture and quoting it scripture for scripture. No, not my personal relationship with God is mine. And there's a lot of us that don't go to church. We don't want to sit amongst the hypocrites. We try to be a peaceful bunch of people, mind our own business, and let you do the same. But then when our feathers get ruffled with all the transgender, then our feathers are ruffled and we speak out. But nine times out of ten, we're peaceful. We don't have anger in our heart. We just believe in doing the right thing. And we don't like going to church sitting amongst the hypocrites of, oh, you can't do this or you can't do that. But then you're going home doing worse than what I was doing, you know. So there's a jaded line for a lot of people of pretending that they are, oh, I love Jesus. No, you're a hypocrite. Don't condemn me for something because sin is sin. That my sin is no worse than their sin, and their sin is no worse than mine. But there are Jesus-loving people that mind's our own business, and we're not angry.
And are you a Jesus-loving person?
I am.
You are.
I'm a Jesus. You said Jesus, right?
Yes.
Yes.
You said that there are Jesus-loving. These people are Jesus-loving people, right?
Right.
And are you a Jesus-loving person?
Yes.
And do you have anger?
No.
You never get angry?
It's very rare that I get angry. It has to be really, for me to get angry, it has to be concerned with somebody messing with my kids, my husband, it's family. I don't get angry over I get discouraged when I see all of the transgenderism and gay. First, it was, oh, let us get married. I mean, let us just live. Okay, they did that. But to be honest with you.
And do you ever get angry?
Not to the point of violence, no.
And do you ever get angry?
No.
You never get angry?
Get angry, and you can ask anybody that knows me. I don't get angry because I have my own personal relationship.
And so you never get angry?
I do not.
So I thought you said you get angry at somebody messing with your family or blah, blah, blah.
Discouraged. Well, if I'm saying I never get angry, but nobody ever messes with my family, so to speak. I mean, when you say angry, are you talking about, like, just getting mad out of the blue over nothing?
Do you ever get angry?
Yeah. Well, yes. If somebody messes with my family or my kids, yes.
And so it's anger of God or of evil?
It's not of evil because I don't, just because somebody does something to me don't mean I'm going to do it back. But justice is something that you look for. Because I'll tell you something. My
and
son
so is anger of God or of evil?
Well, I would think that it was, since I have the love of God in my heart, that it would be anger with the love of God in my heart, not from evil. Because when I think of evil, I think of people, pedophiles, and the transgenderism, trying to push it on children.
Is anger of Jesus or of evil?
Anger is of evil when you use violence behind it.
And so if you're of, you say you're of Jesus, How can you be of Jesus and get angry when there is no anger in Jesus?
Well, actually, if you do remember in the Bible, which I don't read the Bible as much as I probably want to, should, not that I want to, because I just don't. I have my own personal relationship with God. He turned over the tables in the tabernacle when, you know, and so it, I don't think it is a sin to get angry when people do you wrong. And I think that, yes, it's a Jesus anger when people like me, that we don't go out and look for trouble and do dubious. And
if God is of love, God is love, pure love. He doesn't hate anyone. He never gets angry at anyone. He doesn't judge at all. And you're of God, how can you still get angry when your nature is, when you say your nature, when you say your nature is of God, how can you still be of evil?
I'm not of evil, but I do know that Jesus said vengeance is his.
How can you be of Jesus if you still get anger when anger is of the devil?
Well, just like anything else, there is a level of being mad and upset and then just being pure evil.
Evil is evil is evil. There's no level in evil. Evil is evil. There's no love in evil.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me reiterate on that. My son was stabbed 7 times. He did not die. Was I angry that that happened to my son? Yes, I was.
Why?
Did I let
Why were you angry? Why were you angry that that happened?
Because my son was hurt. But did I let that anger that I was feeling cause me to go out looking for that man and killing him? No.
What good did it do you to get angry about it, period?
Why?
Yeah, what good does it do you to get angry about it?
That's the whole point that I'm trying to make. I didn't let my relationship with God help that anger, so therefore I wasn't going out looking to kill that man. Or
what good did it do you to get angry, period?
What do you mean? I mean, everybody gets angry and hurt and distraught and there's no way out of that. Even the most perfect preacher that claims to be, he gets angry. There's no way to escape getting upset or angry.
Are emotions necessary?
It's how you act upon it.
Are emotions necessary?
Yes. Emotions are
necessary. And in what way are emotions necessary?
Without strife in life, there would be no compassion.
I didn't mean to laugh. So what now?
I didn't hear you.
I didn't mean to laugh. You say without strife, there's no compassion?
Right.
Where'd you get that from?
When people start to grow numb.
Where did you get that from? Without strife, there's no compassion. Where'd you get that from?
I've got that from my faith with God.
From who?
From God.
Who?
Can you really not hear me, or you just...
I'm sorry, did you say you got it from God or some guy?
Yes, I get my discernment from God.
Oh, okay. And so where did God say without strife there is no compassion? Where did he say that?
He said that to me.
Oh, he said it to you. Not in the Bible anywhere. He just said it to you?
That's what I'm telling you. My relationship with God, I don't let no man teach me. I strictly, my faith
so,
is what.
But God said to you personally, Rhonda, without strife, there is no compassion?
That is exactly what I'm telling you.
The devil told you that. That doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry that you feel the need to question my faith. I'm not trying to convince you or change your mind. I was only calling in to reiterate on you calling us Bible thumpers and going to church. And We don't, not, there's a lot of us that does not go to church, but we have our own personal relationship with God.
But you don't have a relationship with God.
Who don't?
You.
I'm sorry to tell you, that's not true.
It is true. You can't have
tell me that I don't have a relationship with God.
Because you can't have a relationship with God and the devil, and anyone who has anger has a relationship with evil and not with good, not with God.
That is so not true. That is so not true.
Can you serve two gods?
I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm not even going to agree to disagree with that. Okay. I'm going to completely disagree with that.
Can you serve two gods?
No, you cannot serve
two
gods.
So how can you serve evil and good?
See, the beauty of your relationship and your faith with God literally allows you to be forgiven. And if I get angry at anybody, as long as I don't act on that as killing them or whatever, payback or...
Rhonda.
Yes.
Let me ask you this because of time. I like your call. I appreciate your call. Which is easier for you to accept? That you are a sinner, or all your sins have been forgiven?
I'm a sinner that is forgiven.
Which is easier for you to accept, that you are a sinner, or all your sins have been wiped away?
That I'm a sinner.
And why is it easier to accept that you're a sinner rather than all your sins have been wiped away?
Because that's where people go wrong. They think just because they...
No, I'm asking you, why is it easy for you to accept that you are a sinner rather than all your sins have been wiped away?
Because I am a sinner. Everybody is.
Did Jesus say you are a sinner, or did he say all your sins have been forgiven?
Yes, but premeditated sin, there's no way that people can construe the idea that you can have premeditated sin, because we sin every day. You have to repent all the time.
Did Jesus say that you are a sinner or all your sins have been forgiven? Which did he say?
Both.
He said you are a sinner and all your sins have been forgiven?
And washed away, yes.
And so... Where did he say that you are a sinner and all your sin have been wiped away?
Where did he say it?
Yes.
That's in the Bible.
Where is that in the Bible?
Did you believe him
when he said that your sins have been forgiven? Did you believe him?
Yes, I did.
Then why do you call yourself a sinner then?
Because we are all a filthy rag.
No, why do you call yourself a sinner if he said that your sins have been forgiven?
Because I would be lying if I sit here and told you I don't mean.
No. If Jesus said that all your sins have been forgiven, why do you call yourself a sinner?
Yes, the sins that you ask for forgiveness for.
Rhonda, you're not answering my question.
Well, you're trying to put it in a box.
No, I'm trying to get an answer.
I am a sinner.
Rhonda.
Yes.
Rhonda.
Yes, Josie.
If Jesus said that all your sins have been forgiven, why do you call yourself a sinner? Was Jesus lying?
No, Jesus wasn't lying.
So then why do you call yourself a sinner if he said that you have been forgiven?
Because we are all sinners.
No. Rhonda, you're not answering my question. We're talking about you. Why do you call yourself a sinner if Jesus said all your sins have been forgiven?
I'm a sinner, and I'm not perfect. That's why. I am a sinner.
So you don't believe that your sins have been forgiven?
Yes, the ones that I've asked him to forgive me for, that's why
I have to. He didn't tell you to ask him. He didn't say if you ask him. He said they have been forgiven. He didn't say if you ask if they be forgiven. He said they have been forgiven.
In case everybody would be going to heaven.
Rhonda.
Yes?
Did he say if you ask, or did he say your sins have been forgiven?
if you ask.
He said, if you ask?
Yes. If
no.
you ask, you're forgiven.
Right. Amazing call. Call me again.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Amazing. 888-7753-773. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super, super.
Good morning.
Hey, James.
Nick LaBoy.
And your shirt?
My shirt says...
I know you always tell people on your show, I have on this shirt today. This I know it looked like a small, but it's a large. It's a medium. and it made by Jose.
Whatever. I feel like I'm being mocked.
Who?
Mocked.
Oh.
It's not a bond
your
or GLP.
Your show is
or
so Nick. Interesting to me.
Thank you. It's funny that you don't understand it. I feel like it's a that's like a side.
Oh no, yeah. It's so good. I'm serious. It's different than any other show I ever heard, never know, and ain't about to see, and ain't heard.
Okay.
It really is a good show.
Thank you.
But it's just I don't understand it.
You mentioned yesterday like a call that. You understood the call, but you didn't understand how I handled the call from a couple of days ago.
Right.
I wonder which call that was. There's so many that are possibly hard to understand how Hake thinks. Anyway.
I know.
Yeah. It's just
stupid.
It's not a Bonner JLP t-shirt or a Hake t-shirt.
I know. It's just a shirt.
Yeah, it says Zion on it.
Nice.
And it's a national park.
Are you a Zionist?
Yeah.
Oh, it says Zion?
Zion.
That means Zionist?
Well, no.
What does Zion mean?
I didn't get it because I thought it was kind of funny. But Zion is a national park in, like, Utah or somewhere. Because, you know, the Mormons.
Oh.
The Mormons think the Promised Land is America or something.
The Mormons?
Yeah, and the Mormons are in Utah.
And they think the Promised Land is America?
Yeah.
America. Super chat.
Okay. Over on Rumble, a couple of Rumble rants yesterday, late coming from Nick LaBoy. Morning, Jesse. Biblical question.
Are emotions, Chris used to put the biblical question at every chapter, at the beginning of every hour. Not Chris,
right.
But Sean.
Yep.
Sean don't do it this way.
Right.
He put it at every hour. I have to always roll back up to the first hour.
We'll put it in the header for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are emotions necessary?
Emotions' only purpose is to dig your own grave because that's what happens every time you lean on them, he says.
Amazing. Thank you. And I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. I appreciate it.
Side note from Nick LaBoy with another Rumble rant. It's been 7 years since the last time I argued with my wit. Wife, I think he means. When she acts up, I simply tell her, go sit down, Satan. Be still and know God.
Amazing. Thank you.
Someone bought a coffee. Do you want us to think about what you say think about or not think at all? You said think about that 1,000 times yesterday, I believe, and yet you still tell us thoughts are all lies. As you say it, sir, I understand.
Sometimes I say smoke on it, but I don't really mean smoke.
10 coffees from Joey.
Thank you, though.
Isley Brothers or the Gap Band?
Oh. Oh, that's a good one.
Nice.
That's a good one. I don't know. I'm torn. But that's a good, especially with a quick time to think about it. Back in a moment, 2 more hours to go.
I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father. And I returned to my father. And through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. Hollywood degenerates. One good thing, they're scared to wade into politics too much. Nice. Fear is a good thing with these liberal Hollywood degenerates. And Tennessee has new abortion and so-called gender-affirming care laws, according to the far-left female-run outlet The Skim. And there's a new study finding girls are going through puberty. I think that this is what it means. At younger ages. Probably, my guess, maybe because of the fatherlessness crisis and the sexualization, maybe? Not sure. This is the end of hour one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. It is Thursday, Bible Thumper Thursday, May 30th, A.D. 2024. The lines are full, guys, I do believe. JLP will be right back to your calls. But first, fake news, not fake news. Many Hollywood actors, according to CNN, Comedy Nonsense Network, are wary of announcing 2024 presidential endorsements amid a hyper-divisive political landscape, which they contributed to it. Instead, they might align themselves with specific issues rather than a candidate this year, so say multiple publicists and agents to Comedy Nonsense Network. What a mess. Tennessee has a new abortion laws and gender affirming care laws. What a euphemism, huh? What an evil communist euphemism. I call it communist, but it is an evil, terrible lie. It's not what it is. This week, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, he is a Republican. Bill Lee, he signed into law two bills aimed at hindering abortion. Hindering meaning, hindering. And so-called gender-affirming care, hindering that too, for minors. Anyone who helps transport a minor within the state of Tennessee for an abortion without parental consent could face nearly a year in prison if convicted. That's valid. Sounds valid to me. Regardless of whether or not the minor consented to the procedure, because you need parental permission. Duh. Emergency medical and transportation services are exempt under the new abortion law. Meanwhile, an adult who helps minors leave the state for so-called gender-affirming care. That's sick stuff, huh? Probably all that mess. Can be sued by the child's parents or guardians. Right. That sounds fair to me. Both of those laws go into effect July 1st. They're just trying to help protect the youngins in their country and the parents. Tennessee is reportedly the first state in the country to penalize adults who help minors access, communist buzzword, gender-affirming care, so-called, without parental consent. Right on, Tennessee, the beautiful South. It's also the second state to pass a law against helping minors get an abortion, further restricting access to the procedure in Tennessee. Both bills could still face legal challenges. And by the way, little headline for you from Axios, HBO-affiliated extremist far-left Axios. The Ten Commandments could soon be displayed in Louisiana classrooms. Nice. Nice. A new study found girls are getting their first cover your ears, kids, periods at younger ages. A study of more than 71,000 people born between 1950 and 2005 revealed girls have been getting their periods earlier in life. Earlier in life. They're not keeping them innocent. Nope. No siree. Researchers found the average age of a girl's first menstrual period was just under 12 years old, half a year earlier than in previous generations. Black, Asian, Hispanic, and lower so-called socioeconomic participants in the study reported earlier averages than white women or girls. And I'm guessing it's because of the out-of-wedlock births and stuff like that. I'm not sure. Anyway, the study involved Harvard, Apple, the National Institute of Environmental Health Services. They analyzed cycle tracking data from participants' iPhones and surveys. The research also indicated more young women and girls are experiencing irregular cycles for years. Whoa. Researchers say an earlier period and irregular cycles can lead to health issues later in life, heart disease, diabetes, certain cancers. As for why they're getting earlier periods, is scientists pointed to factors like obesity, forever chemicals, and sugary foods. Huh. Interesting. So that's their mess. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP.
to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what they've wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth. Instead of dividing them with lies, we're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show already. You can get involved by calling 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. My biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy, are emotions necessary? Are emotions necessary? An amazing question. Isn't that an amazing question? If you're busy and you just can't sit and watching the show, you can listen to it live or as it is happening, no matter what you're doing and where you are. We are heard around the world by everybody and their mama by calling the listen line on your iPhone or iPad at 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. And we have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. All right? And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/Jesse. JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. A bond cash app, bond JLP cash app, bond JLP cash app. It's Thursday. It's the second hour of the show on Thursday. And every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
The sign outside the New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham reads, "A black vote for Trump is mental illness."
I am the daughter of two pastors.
You will emerge from that as an atheist.
President Joe Biden is only the second Catholic president.
They call him the Holy Father. Ain't nothing holy about the Pope.
God, why? Why George God?
Holy mackerel. I can't believe you people follow a man. Amazing. 888-7753-773. I want to go to Canada and talk to a first-time caller, Chris, from Canada. Chris, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Chris.
This is amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you. To your crew and all your supporters and to you for doing this work.
Thank you.
I've been I was crying out to God earlier this year, and I found you, and I've been waking up, and instantly my wife has been giving me hell about it. The devil in her feels it, and I could feel the devil in her knowing it.
She giving you hell about waking up?
I think so. She wants me to wake up, but in her way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I've told her that I'm leaving her, and I've been heartbroken.
You're heartbroken?
Yeah.
And why are you leaving her?
super woke, I can't. I don't think I can control her.
And
but I want to anyway, but
you want to? You say?
I don't want to.
Okay. And why don't you want to control her?
Well, because I feel she's too set in her ways. Feminist and all that, and equal with the man and whatnot.
How long have you been married?
A few years, but we've been living together for 12 almost.
Really? You have children?
Yeah. No children.
No children. And so why did you marry her knowing she was a feminist and had all these issues? You lived with her before you married her. Why did you marry her knowing that she was in that condition?
Journey waking up this last couple years. So we were married, and then I started to wake up. I was terrified of saying no. She asked, I'm such a beta. She asked me to marry.
What a beta!
What a mess. So,
Did she get on her knees and marry to ask to propose?
Quite the spectacular display.
Wow.
Yeah, she didn't get on her knees, but it was private, though.
Right. And so why are you heartbroken?
I'm thinking it's because I haven't forgiven my mother, and I'm of her nature.
And why don't you already have children with her? You've been with her so long. Why no children?
I'm not sure. We haven't trying.
Oh, okay.
So,
do you want children?
I do.
And does she want children?
She does.
Oh, okay. So how does she feel now that you've told her that you're leaving?
Devastated. And I feel like she's got maybe a wounded ego about me leaving her feeling betrayed. Because her proposing to me was a pledge to bear with me my misery and darkness. And I see that as keeping me a prisoner.
So she doesn't want to leave either, right?
No.
And so your question for me is what?
I'm heading into this storm, wondering if all this emotion is because of me not having forgiven my mother yet, and returning to the father.
And why haven't you gone and put? And we're going to get to all your calls, but they're going to answer the phone in a minute. Why haven't you gone and forgiven your mother and father?
Oh, I'm waiting on a mechanical issue with my vehicle right now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You can't Skype with them or anything?
I can. Yeah, I'd rather do it in person. They're not that far away.
Okay.
I wouldn't have mentioned that far with the mechanical issue right now. But
I got you.
And to do with that, it's amazing. On Mother's Day, she actually apologized at a dinner we were having for not to. So I felt like that was really serendipitous of her to. She was expressing regret at how she raised me and my sister. So.
Oh, okay. So your mother apologized for the way she raised you guys.
Yeah, and I couldn't forgive her right there in front of everyone.
And why not?
Oh, it was because I was listening to the devil, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. Are you doing the silent prayer?
Yes, every morning and night.
Oh, good. Stay with that. And so your question for me is what?
Because I haven't forgiven my mother, and I'm going into the storm. I feel like I've jumped the gun on leaving my wife. Do you think that forgiving my mother will release me of the emotions that I'm wrapped up in?
One thing for sure and without a doubt, if you forgive your mother and father, do the silent prayer, you will overcome those emotions. They will be taken away from you.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Thank you, Jesse.
But here's what I, if I can make a recommendation about you leaving your wife, and it's up to you, of course.
Yes.
I would recommend that you just work on yourself first.
Yes.
Before you leave your wife and all that. Work on you, because you can't change her, but work on you and just quietly go and forgive, do the silent prayer, watch your thoughts, go about your life, just working on you. And maybe your wife may see that, and that might cause her to wake up herself, work on herself. But if she doesn't, you'll be fine either way, because you will no longer be committed to her. You'll be committed to what is right.
Yes.
And then if you need to leave, you will leave in perfect peace. You wouldn't leave all feeling sad like you feel now. You wouldn't leave. You wouldn't leave. You would just see what to do and do it. But I just, based on everything you just said, I don't see a reason for you to leave your wife.
Yes. I've been thinking that too.
Because she is, when you met her, she was already screwed up. And when she met you, you were already screwed up. So she's not your problem and you're not her problem. The problems were there. We all met each other. And so now that you're starting to realize these things about you, I would just recommend you work on you. But I don't see a reason for you to leave your wife. Does she beat you?
No.
You told Harpo to beat me.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
I don't see a reason for you to leave, man. And especially if she want to stay with you and you want to be with her. But I would definitely work on myself to overcome the fallen state and put what's right first, seeking the kingdom of heaven first. So that your wife and no one or no thing can be over you. Only God will be your head, and you'll be fine.
That's what I told her. Seek the kingdom of God above all.
Right. And if she doesn't want to do it at any point, you still do it. Just don't try to force her to do it when she's angry and carrying on. You can correct her in her anger, but don't try to force her to change. Leave her in her hell until she decides she want to come out of her hell. Then the truth would bring her out. But I still don't see a reason to, and I think somewhere the Bible says to stay with her. Let me see. The Bible says to stay. Oh, hold on. I got it. The scriptures now. If any brother. Hold on. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. That's a 1 Corinthians 7:12. And so, I didn't even realize that was in the Bible, but thank you, Hank. But I don't see a reason for you to leave your wife, based on what you said. I just see a reason for you to return to the Father. The issue is about you overcoming the fallen state, forgiving your mother, forgiving your father, and so that God can forgive you and bring you back unto Him. And then that way, your wife won't be the head of you. You will have no fear. You'll be a free man. And even if she screwed up, you'll still be fine.
I can see that, yeah.
All right?
All right, Jesse. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes.
Thank you. God bless.
You too, buddy. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Ronnie out of Ohio. Excuse me. Ronnie, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Uncle Jesse, how's everything going?
All is well, sir. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I was been listening in, and I heard your call earlier with that lady, Rhonda.
Yes.
And you asked her a good question, and I'm not sure if it was ever a biblical question that I missed. But it was a good question where you asked if it was easier for her to accept that she's a sinner or that her sins have been forgiven.
Yes.
And I wanted to respond to that because I thought it was a good question and an interesting question.
Which is easier for you to accept, that you are a sinner or all your sins have been forgiven?
It's easier for me to accept that my sins have been forgiven.
And why is that?
There is more of a, I guess, an outlook on moving forward and moving on when you focus on the fact that your sins have been forgiven. I think that's associated with growth, entering into a better relationship with God. I think if people look at themselves as sinners, there's shame that comes with that, and then there's guilt that comes with that, and then they associate themselves with everyone else in the world based on sin. And then I think that that allows people to have a negative view of each other and of themselves. And it's hard to love yourself when you look at yourself as a sinner. And we've been commanded to sin no more. So if you look at yourself as somebody whose sins have been forgiven, you don't feel bad about anything that you've done 10 years ago, yesterday, whatever sins you may or may not have committed, you can move forward with that and understand that Jesus came, served a purpose, and then we are able to move forward from that.
It's interesting, too, to add to that. It's interesting to me that, and again, folks, they're going to get to your calls out there in a minute. Sorry about that, but just not answering right now. What's interesting to me is that Jesus said to the people, all your sins have been forgiven. And yet no one seemed to accept that. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. They'd rather accept that they're a sinner rather than accept that their sins have been forgiven. It's the darndest, and everybody think that way, and yet they suffer and suffer and suffer. When their sins have been forgiven, they don't want to accept that. That's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, and I think it's easier for them to kind of associate with the guilt and the shame because if they spend a lot of time there, that becomes their comfort zone. And then there's responsibility that comes with accepting that you have been forgiven and now you need to go and sin no more. I think that might be the harder task, is to go and sin no more. So rather than accept that their sins have been forgiven and that they need to move forward, it's easier to just look at themselves as a sinner because that makes it okay for them to keep sinning.
What a mess!
Yeah, and it might be because they don't understand that any sins that they committed, it was before they got a new heart, and they might not have gotten that new heart yet. But when you get that new heart, that's not who you are anymore.
And then you
realize that was the devil working through you because that's how the devil shows up. The devil doesn't walk around the streets in a red suit with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
The devil will use anger. He'll use jealousy of other people in order to get his work done. And once people realize that and say, okay, this is how the devil uses me when he wants to use me to attack, he'll try to get me to hone in on my emotions or to hone in on sins of the past and then act that way. And now I'm turning away from God and I'm in this world and becoming of the world. They don't understand that that's how the devil operates. But once they see that that's not who they are and it's not really them, they can go and actually sin no more. And it's not as difficult as they might think it is.
Amazing, man. Absolutely. Amazing, Ronnie. What the?
I appreciate you letting me get some time to jump in. And, I let y'all get back to this Bible Thumping Thursday.
Thank you, man. Amazing.
All right, now take care.
All right. Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Al out of Pennsylvania. Al, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. Good morning. How are you?
All is well, sir.
Hey, I also want to start off by complimenting you. I love your show. I love the content. I love your views on Black America. I think you're right on with a lot of it. And after some time, I noticed that a lot of people do eventually realize that what they take as criticism is actually help. And they start realizing that maybe there is something wrong here, and that initiates change.
Absolutely.
So
right on.
I do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I do disagree with you on the Bible in terms of Jesus being God, and I had two sections I just wanted to see what your opinion was on.
Okay, but before you read those two, you believe Jesus is God?
I do.
And why do you believe it?
Because of what I read in the Bible, it makes it pretty clear that he is from what I read in the Bible. Not from anybody's word, but from what the Bible actually, how it states it.
Okay. Let me hear what you have to say.
Okay. So there's two sections I wanted to question on. In 2 Peter, this is at the very beginning of the letter. It says, to those who have obtained the faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even if we go to the original language, that's making it clear that Peter is saying Jesus is our God as well as our Savior. So that's one. And then the other one I had, I called you before and brought this one up. This is where Jesus tells Thomas to go ahead and put his finger in the hole to show that, you know, he's there and he's, you know, alive. Thomas goes, answers him, my Lord and my God. To where Jesus doesn't say, hey, Thomas, that's incorrect. You're wrong by calling me God. He recognizes that, yes, he is God. So my question to you is the Bible wrong in both those claims?
Number one, neither one of the claims that you just read proved that they were saying Jesus was God. They said that by God and Jesus. But, and another thing is that Thomas wasn't necessarily calling him God. And if you notice, Jesus never called himself God at all. It looked like, and what you just read is not true, that it's not saying that he's God. It looked like Jesus said, but other people said that, not Jesus himself. Jesus always made it clear that he was the Son of the Father. He came with a message from the Father. It was the Father who sent him. He didn't say, I come on my own. The Father sent me. He make it clear that the Father and I are one, and he make it clear that the same thing that I do, you shall do too because of the Father. Nowhere did Jesus Christ ever call himself God.
Okay, so...
What do you think about that?
I disagree with you when you say that he doesn't say that he's God. I mean, Peter...
No, I'm asking you, what do you say about what I just said that he said?
Well, he does. There's a section to where Jesus says, I am.
No, you're not. I asked you, what do you think about what you said in response to what I just said that he said?
No, he did say those things. I agree.
And just so like if he were God, why would he say, the Father sent me? My Father and I are one. And that it's not me that's doing the work, but the Father in me is doing the work. Greater is he in me that is in you. Why did he say those things if he was God?
That's where the confusion comes in.
That's not confusing to me. I'm asking you, why did he say those things if he was God?
Because he being God person is one person. This is God the Father.
But he never said any of that. Why did he talk about his Father if he was God? Why were he so into his Father?
Because they're both equal standing.
He never said anything like that. Are you saying that the Father and Son are equal standing?
Yeah, the Father,
and so there
both
is
God.
So there is a Father and a Son?
Correct, yes. There is a Father and a Son. There's also
and so
a Holy
if
Spirit.
There is a Father and a Son, how can there be a God and a God?
Yeah, and that's where it gets a little convoluted. That's where
so are you saying that Jesus was convoluted about what he was saying?
No, I'm not saying that he was convoluted. I'm saying
but
that
he said those things himself. Why wasn't he convoluted? You said it was convoluted.
Mm-hmm. Because us as humans, like, can you imagine taking dust and making it a human? No, there's no way for us to even fathom that thought.
No, but are you saying that Jesus was convoluted by talking about his Father?
No, that's what I'm saying. If you read, you can clearly get the message in terms of understanding who Jesus was and what his purpose was. You got to read the Old and the New Testament.
Are you saying Jesus was convoluted by explaining who he was?
No, it's convoluted in the way a lot of people understand it.
So you don't understand. How is it convoluted when Jesus himself said, my Father sent me, my Father and I are one? And in 2 Peter, chapter 1, Jesus said that Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father. That's in 2 Peter 1. Jesus received glory and honor from God. Are you saying that Peter was convoluted when he said that about Jesus?
No. We're going off topic.
Why do they keep talking about there is a God and a Son if the Son is God, if you believe the Son is God? Why do they just talk about him?
Because God's one, but there are three persons.
He never said anything like that either. Why are you making that up?
I'm not making it up.
You are. You're making that up. That's not in the Bible.
Okay, but you completely...
That's not in the Bible.
I read something. It is.
No,
it's
not.
Jesse, it says, okay, go to 2 Peter 1. You can read it for yourself. You don't have to take my word. It says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not making that up.
Did Christ... Okay, so hold on to that idea, Al. Hold on to Jesus being God and see how far that gets you.
Well, it isn't. I'm not trying to get far, and that's not the purpose.
Why not?
Of me trying to hold on.
Why not?
Well, the purpose is I'm trying to explain to you that you are looking at this in error. It's not me trying to get far. I'm just trying to share the word with you. I don't want you to be in error. I don't want you to preach to people.
With God
that's
and
wrong.
Father. Thank you, Al. Back in a moment.
We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy
They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Bumpa Thursday. There's one line open at 888-7753-773. Jesse, quick announcement for personal shout-outs. Personal shout-out, like birthdays, weddings, and anniversaries, and congratulations, and encouragements. Go to Cameo. I will do them for you. C-A-M-E-O. Cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right. And also, you can make donations. Make donations. Help us get the work done. You've been helped, so help us to help others by going to rebuildingdemand.com. Rebuilding, and it is tax deductible, by the way. So you still, you can help. You're giving your money, and you're getting tax breaks on your money. What the? RebuildingTheMan.com/donate. RebuildingTheMan.com/donate. Or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. All right, to make a donation. You can mail them in as well. The address to mail them to is... And it's on our website, too, I believe. Make the check or money out to Bond. P.O. Box 35090, L.A., California, 90035. P.O. Box 35090, L.A., California, 90035. All right? And you can find that in our on our website as well. And we're going to get to your Super Chat. Hate is coming in. We're going to get to them as well. All right. Let me go to... I believe it's Minister Andrew, a first-time caller out of Pennsylvania. Let's see here. Minister Andrew, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jesse, hold on. Let me get off the Bluetooth.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I want to thump my Bible for a minute, Jesse.
Are you a Bible thumper?
I'm a big-time Bible thumper.
All right.
Big
Bible
time.
Thumper. Amazing. Go ahead.
we got to send this whole three-God lie back to hell where it belongs. It's just a big old lie. What, they don't understand that God was in Christ, okay? And I don't understand how it affects their theology to say that body of flesh and bone and blood, that body that came from a woman, it bled and it died. How does that affect their theology to say that God was in that body? They're so resistant to it. But God didn't have a mother. God didn't die on the cross. God didn't grow in stature. That's Jesus, the body that God was in. It's not hard. It's not confusing.
And where does that idea come from? Do you know where that idea came from, that Jesus is God?
Well, usually if you're talking to somebody of the Catholic persuasion, they'll reference some writing from some church teacher, because that's their go-to. Whenever the Bible doesn't explain what they want it to explain, they'll say, well, Saint such and such said it in 300. So you can never really debate or teach anybody who has a get-out-of-jail-free card with everything you say.
And so if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that whole idea that Jesus God just started from somebody else saying that somebody else said it?
Somebody else said it, but somebody else said it. Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. There's nowhere in the Bible, because every time it says, oh God, oh Israel, our Lord God is one, and every time God speaks, he says, I. He doesn't say we. He says, I this, I that. There's one. I have no idea where you would read the Bible even come up with two or three or multiple gods.
Me either. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
And then another thing.
And then when you get them in a corner, they say, well, it's convoluted or it's confusing. Believe me, God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused, it's because some man made you confused. The
yeah.
He explained it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, let me ask this. Ask while you're on the phone here and your Bible thumper, which is easy for you to accept, that you are a sinner or your sins have been forgiven?
Oh, it's so much easier to live your life knowing that your sins are forgiven. It would be maddening to have to live your daily life thinking that something I did today or something I did 10 years ago is still hanging on my head, over my head. You couldn't move forward. You would be wrapped with guilt 24/7.
And so it's easy for you to accept which one?
That all of your sins are forgiven, all of them.
How about you?
Yes, me.
It's easy for you to accept that your sins have been forgiven rather than that you are a sinner?
Yes, it is.
And have you always been that way? How did you make the change?
No, I haven't always been that way. No, I have not been saved for very long. I would say about 7 or 8 years. I used to read the Bible before I was saved, or I would try to. And it might as well have been written in Chinese, because I could not understand a word of it. But when God opens your eyes and you trust in him, the Bible is no longer confusing to you. It can be interpreted properly. And if you had to go through life, you know, dissecting, is this sin forgiven or is that one? Maybe it isn't. Or that one's really bad. This one's worse than that one.
But how did you make the switch from believing that you are a sinner to seeing that you're not a sinner?
Because otherwise, then you don't trust. That's not trust in Jesus. Then you're saying Jesus picks and chooses which sins are forgiven.
No, but I'm asking, how did you make the switch? How did you make the change from believing you're a sinner to knowing that your sins have been forgiven and not believing that you're a sinner? You don't believe you're a sinner, right?
I don't believe I'm a sinner, no.
So how did you make the switch?
All the sins are forgiven.
How did you make the change?
Like I was saying, your heart is changed, okay? And so that the truth becomes aware, you're aware of the truth.
Amazing. All right, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. Call me again. I'm very interested, all right?
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Jesse. Love you.
Love you, too. All right. 888-7753-773. The board is smoking. We're going to try to get to everybody and Super Chats, all right? Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Dawn, Donnie Groh's idea, says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Same year Trump was born, 1946.
Nice.
Thank you, Jesse, for your patience and your mission to rebuild the family. It is our greatest hope for peace on earth.
Amazing. Thank you. Appreciate your support.
It's me, Zenya, says, NYC is such a mess. Yeah. I got a ticket and they misspelled my name, so it was dropped.
Whoa.
Lucky.
NYC means New York City.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you.
She also asks how she's a monthly supporter on Rumble.
And they're going to get the calls out there in a minute, folks. Just hold on. You are on hold. They just don't know it yet out there.
How is it a January 6th symbol? It's a flag symbol that's been around for the longest.
I know. They just tried to get rid of Trump. I'm telling you, and all the conservatives, especially the white ones. What the? Thank you.
Indeed. Stan69 with a diamond. Judaism is an obsolete religion. Christianity equals truth.
Repeat that.
Judaism is a obsolete religion. Christianity is the truth.
What that mean? What's the obsolete?
No longer applies.
Oh, Judaism doesn't apply anymore?
Yes. It went from Judaism was the true religion, and now it's Christianity is the true religion, or whatever, I think. Yes.
But if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianism.
Right.
So is that person saying that Christian is obsolete as well?
No.
How come one is but the other isn't?
Because Judaism became Christianity.
But it's the same God.
Right. I know, but anyways, they're waiting around for the Messiah. They don't see that Jesus is the Messiah.
Who? The Christians?
The Jews.
Oh.
Well, most of the Christians do.
But there are Jews who believe Jesus is the Messiah as well.
Right.
And there are Christians who don't believe Jesus is the Messiah.
Indeed.
Oh, amazing. Did you know the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you?
I've heard that before, I think.
Do you believe it?
Oh. Yeah.
What?
I said yes.
Yeah, what?
What you said.
What? What did I say?
That the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me.
Do you believe it?
No, I don't think about it. It's like something that I've forgotten.
Oh. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you.
Dwells in me.
Dwells in me.
Dwells in you.
The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you.
Dwells in me.
Dwells in me.
Dwells in you.
He will quicken your mortal body. Dwells in you.
In you.
Dwells in me. And you don't believe it.
Yeah, I do.
You just forgot it.
Right.
How you forget something that important?
Chasing other things.
What the?
Amazing. Okay.
Thank you, Stan69, for your diamond.
Okay.
Very provocative.
Yeah.
Wayne, I am that I am, bought a coffee. Rhonda, referring to your first hour caller, I think.
Yes.
If you seek to be justified by Christ and are a sinner, then that makes Jesus a minister of sin. I say again, if you seek to be justified by Christ and are a sinner, that makes Jesus a minister of sin. God forbid. See Galatians 2:17. Thank you, Wayne, I am that I am.
Thank you, the way I am that I am. Thank you.
Wayne.
Oh, Wayne, I am that I am.
Yeah.
Wayne, I am that I am. Thank you.
Did you ever answer Joey's 10 coffees? Very generous. The Isley Brothers or the Gap Band?
Oh, so I was talking to Hassan and Joe Friday, TV, he black, about this, and Joe Friday said, I think it's such a difficult choice. But if you twist my arm and make me say an answer, I think I would go with the Gap Band. Because they were more upbeat, like. The Isley Brothers more slow roll. So I would go with the Isley Band. Joel said, outstanding, yes. Yeah. Thank you, though. I think that's where I go with it, since I have to. You want me to make a choice. Okay.
But not a victim.
Amazing.
Not a victim bought a coffee. Mark 10:18. Why do you call me good? Call no man good, for there is only one that is good. Only God is good.
Right on.
That's a quote from Jesus.
Oh. The Isley Brother.
Yeah, he called the Isley Band.
The Gap Band.
Yeah. Still hung up on that.
No. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Thank you all. Oh, amazing.
Indeed.
Thank you for your support. I do appreciate it. Let me go to Starkey. A little louder for me. Starkey, a first-time caller out of North Carolina. Starkey, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Starkey.
It's good to hear you, man. I've always thought that you was awesome and entertaining without being a train wreck.
Amazing. Thank you. I appreciate it. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Nicholas. There's a line open. He just wanted to tell me that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nicholas out of Florida. Nicholas, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
All is well.
Okay. So, I guess I'll start with I've been, trying to get, back into the Bible, for real. And I realized that I was dating a Jezebel, and I kind of, cut her off. And it was kind of hard at first, but I was realizing, the reason it was hard is because I wasn't, actually, doing what the Bible says.
Uh-huh.
Because it was, it says, the qualities of a woman and stuff like that. I was reading, Proverbs 31 and stuff like that. And then, but then I look at Bond. I was looking at their most recent video. And you be saying stuff like, give people the finger and, don't, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So it's confusing.
Give her the finger, she's a Cherokee.
Yeah, I kind of had to do that, though, because, she was crazy, But it made me think, I want to be a doer of the word. I want to follow the Bible to the T, because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. But then, how am I supposed to, is that the right way to go? Or should I just, should I just be like, man, forget that? Because I remember one time I was listening to your to this one, I forgot what it's called. This show, Jesse Lee Peterson show, and somebody called in with some Bible stuff. He was like, "I want to hear that Bible mess," and I was like, "Dang!" But if he don't you know what I'm saying? So I'm confused, and I'm young. I'm 21. I'm young, but I really don't want to go the wrong way, for real. So I'm kind of confused on
Oh, okay. And so you say you broke up with your girlfriend?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Here's what you do. There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible, but don't read the Bible to remember, all right? The truth is already inside of you. It's in your heart. And when you go, when you realize that you have this anger inside of you, because it's the anger that is keeping you from knowing the truth. Because anger is evil. Anyone that has anger is evil, right? And so you realize you had an anger, you go and forgive your mother and forgive your father. And don't, because it's the anger that anger you have came from them, especially from the mother. Forgive them. I'm sorry for resenting you. And God will forgive you when you say when you realize you're wrong for resenting them, they can help themselves, right? And God will take that anger from you, and he will cause you to live the truth from within. He will guide you with the truth. You will live in his presence. You will clearly see the right way to go without any problem, and you'll be fine.
Well, I did forgive my mom. I told her I hated her, and it was hard, but I did do that.
Why was it hard to tell? It was hard to tell her that.
Yeah, I can't really explain it. Like I walked in there, and then I couldn't even get the word out. But then I just said, you know, just say it. And then I just said, you know what, I hate you. And then yeah. And then she was like, why do you hate me and stuff like that, et cetera, et cetera. And she, you know, she was saying, well, I did the best I can and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And but then I told her I forgive her. But then it kind of felt like it was kind of like silence. So I just left because I didn't know what else to do.
There was nothing else to do.
Okay, cool. And then I called my dad because I know you say like the way to the Father is like you got to go to your dad, I think.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. In order to return to God, you must forgive your earthly father. If you don't forgive your earthly father, you will never return to God.
So yeah, I called him and then I forgave him and he said that's in the past, like it's okay, like that's in the past.
Right on.
So I did do that, but I still get angry. Like I do the silent prayer. I haven't done it in a minute, but I still feel myself like getting upset at like small stuff and stuff like that. So like, is it a process? Like, is it just like how do I like? Like, where am I going wrong?
Here's where you're going wrong. From this point forward, I promise you this. I'm not, like, making this up or thinking it might happen or whatever, right? I promise you, if you, from this point forward, never identify with the so-called anger or the fear or the doubt or anything. Never call it you again. It is not you. And it's not you, and that's what's been the problem all your life. You've been identifying with those things, thinking that they were you, not knowing that they were evil spirits inside of you. And so never call them again. All you need to do is to see it. When you feel it, when you get the thoughts and the feeling, just watch it. Don't argue with it. Don't try to fight it. Don't call it you. And I promise you, it'll be taken away from you. And you will have a clear mind. The Father, the truth, the love will take it away from you. It is not you. So don't ever identify with it again.
So you want me to just like sit there?
Yeah. Can you hold?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Back in a moment. Hate news, not the fake news.
I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces. Like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Turner. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and his love. It's going to be amazing, man.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. By the way, you drive a Nissan, CNN reports 84,000 owners of Nissan vehicles in the United States, older Nissans, were told to stop immediately. Stop driving your cars due to an airbag safety hazard. You don't want to get a face full of shrapnel or whatever. I don't know what's going on. But watch out, older Nissan vehicle drivers. 84,000 of them, anyway. And today's nasty quote from the evil ACLU, our public schools are not Sunday schools. That's what the evil American, un-American, so-called Civil Liberties Union, communist organization, saying that the organization is, quote, deeply concerned, unquote, by a Louisiana bill that could require schools in the state to display the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments in every classroom. I mentioned that last hour on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, end of the hour one. The legislation is headed to the desk of Republican Governor Jeff Landry, and legal challenge is expected to follow quickly if he signs it into law, because the atheists and the anti-Christian people cannot stand for God to be in the classrooms. What a mess, or at least his Ten Commandments to the Israelites. What a mess, huh? This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Thursday, Bible Thumper Thursday, May 30th, AD 2024. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your calls. It is hate news on fake news. There's a flag, quote-unquote, controversy. Speaking of un-American fake controversy, controversy is what they use when a person is in the right direction or halfway reasonable, right? CNN, Commie Nonsense Network, says so-called Supreme Court, one of the two true justices, Samuel Alito, told lawmakers in a letter yesterday, that he will not recuse himself. You heard about this on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show Hour 1 today. From cases involving the 2020 presidential election or January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol riot. Hey, CNN calling it a riot instead of an insurrection. Give me a break. Despite concerns about two controversial, give me a break, flags flown on his properties by his wife. The failing New York Slimes published a photo this month of an inverted American flag, meaning upside down, a sign of distress, raised at Alito's Virginia home in 2021. Whoa, that was a couple of years ago. What? Which is a symbol of our greatest president's supporters who falsely claimed widespread odd fray in the presidential election. Of course, it was the most secure election in history. So said CISA. Justice Alito said the upside-down U.S. flag was raised by his wife. Additionally, an appeal to heaven flag, seen on display at his vacation property last summer, per reports. That flag has a history of dating to the Revolutionary War, also become a symbol for Trump supporters, also known as patriots who love the country, even though they might be a little misguided sometimes or overzealous, right? And Gaza drama. Meanwhile, in Palestine, which is to say Israel soon, right? Is Israel going to take it over? The war in Gaza will likely continue through at least the end of the year, according to CNN. An Israeli official warned that on Wednesday, seemingly dismissing the idea that fighting would end after Israel's planned military offensive in Rafah. Quote, "We expect another 7 months of fighting to deepen our achievements and achieve our goal of destroying the military and governmental capabilities of Hamas and Islamic Jihad," they said. Israel's national security advisor said. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. The death toll in Gaza has surpassed 35,000, according to reports, since the war broke out October 7th after Hamas killed at least 1,200 people in Israel, per UN data, if you believe the far-left extremist UN. Joke of a Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, in America, not a Christian. He said Wednesday that Israel must weigh incremental gains with unintended horrific consequences of military action in Gaza. What a mess, huh? What a mess. So, by the way, a volcano in Iceland, southwestern Iceland, dramatically erupted Wednesday for the fifth time since December. We're praying for you, people of Iceland. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Hour 3.
time to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth, instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-77-53-773. 888-77-JESSE. My biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy. It's a doozy. Are emotions necessary? Are emotions necessary? That's the biblical question for this week. And you can listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad if you're, like, busy and cannot sit and listen to the show or watch the show live. You still can be listening no matter what you're doing and where you are. On your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. All right? And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLPtalk. Buy me a coffee. .com/JLP Talk or rebuilding the man, Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right. Amazing. So it's Thursday. It's the last hour of the show on Thursday today. It is, for all the Bible Thumpers, Bible Thumper Thursday.
Yes, Lord, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way.
Who's that? Who's texting you? Who are you texting? Who are you texting?
Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Oh, that's my first time seeing that. The anchor baby put that together today. What a mess. Thank you, anchor baby. The anchor baby has a family. I may show his family once again when I'm, like, if I'm on, like, a vacation or a day off or something.
Bible Thumper.
I like his family. They were, like, really, really nice. Really, I enjoyed it. I felt like it was my family. And that's the truth. Anyway, let me go quickly back to Nicholas out of Florida. And Nicholas is working on himself, and he want to know how to get this thing right and do it in the right way. Nicholas.
Yes, sir.
So again, you already know the truth. The truth is already inside of you, and when you read the Bible, it points you back to the truth that's inside of you. The kingdom of heaven is within. So you've gone and forgiven your parents. Do the silent, make sure you commit to doing a silent prayer, because you want to, and you will if you stay with it, you want to be present instead of lost in your head thinking about the past or the future. Eternal life is right here, right now, all the time. All right? Eternal life is always here, but you could be in your head thinking about the past or the future, and that's where hell is, insanity and all that. It's in the past or the future because it's of evil. So I want you to practice being present, and do that, you're going to be fine.
Yes, sir. I do got one more. I kind of want to add on. if I got time.
Okay.
So like about my girlfriend or my I guess I should say my ex. It's kind of crazy because she was homeless or not homeless, but she got evicted, and she was living in another state, and I kind of flew her down here, so she kind of lived with me, kinda. Well, not really with me. So it's kind of like hard. Like I did break up with her. Cause I tried to like show her like God and stuff. And I tried, cause I wanted to work like, I wanted to, you know, really like do what was in the Bible and stuff like that. But she's just like, no, that ain't for me, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I broke up with her, but she still lives here. So it's like, it's kind of like, okay, like when I interact with her, like, should I just keep, I guess I should just keep doing me, huh? And just, you know, let her do her.
Right. So she's still living with you?
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, it's kind of complicated, honestly. Like, to be honest, I'm still living with my mama and my stepdad.
My mama.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm trying to, like, I really am working on myself. Like, I ain't gonna be there for long. Like, I really am trying to, like, get up out of there. But,
yeah, I can tell. Yeah, so you still live with your mother and stepfather, right?
Yes, sir.
And is she living with you guys there, with the mama and the stepfather?
Yes, sir.
Oh, and why don't you ship her back to where she came from?
You like, that's the thing, like, you know, like, so last night, like, I told her, like, hey, it ain't gonna work, can't be unequally yoked, you know, stuff like that. And she was like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And I was like, well, you know.
What am I supposed to do when the best part of me was always you?
So I told her when his paycheck come in, you know, you can, you know, fly to your sister and, you know, we can, you know, part ways. So,
and what'd she say to that?
She just hung up. Oh, no, she asked me, am I sleeping on the couch? Because we only got one little small twin bed. So I let her have the bed. I ain't gonna lie, I let her have the bed.
So why don't you, ship her back to where she came from?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got to get her,
Yeah, ship her back. And I do want you to know this, too. By the way, make sure you don't make a baby with her. That's going to be extra problem for you.
No. Yeah, that was another thing. Like, I'm trying to be celibate because, you know.
Oh, good.
And, you know, we used to do stuff. But after watching, like, you know, your show and stuff like that, and not even just your show, just, like, really reading.
Right.
Like, you know, it's hard, but, you know, we kind of, like, I be throwing her off and stuff when she be trying to, you know, get freaky and stuff.
Yeah, don't do it, because she might even try to make a baby right now just to control you.
Yes, sir.
So don't do it anymore, man. I'm telling you, you will, because once you make a baby with her, now you're going to be worried about your child. You go, oh, I got to be with my child. I can't lose my child. And that's going to be another form of controlling you. So do not, just stay away from that so you don't make a baby.
Yes, sir.
Also, you don't really want to save her. You only want to fix her in hope that you can be with her. And that's not what love is. And so you can't, and plus you can't fix her anyway. Only God can do that. She has to want that, and then the truth will come and help her. You can't do anything about it at all, period. Nothing you can do about it. You can't even fix yourself. You can't save yourself. Only the truth can save you from your misery.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so...
Come back to your phone. Come back to your phone.
I was going to say, I'm trying to get her to be Christian so that we can be together.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay.
That's the only reason you want her to be a Christian. So you think that if you can fix her, you can get her to be a Christian, then the two of you can be together. But that's not the way it should work. That's not the way it works.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, I appreciate this because I feel like it was, like, real. And I appreciate this, sir.
You say you feel like it what? Speak up a little bit.
I said I feel like it was, like, real because I feel like deep down I knew I was doing that. But I also felt like I was doing the right thing because, you know, if you lead someone to Christ, then they save. But
you, like, can't lead no one to Christ.
But I feel like I was led to Christ.
But
when I grew up, because I grew up in a church, kind of. I mean, I kind of turned away from it, but I'm starting to come back. But I see, because I had to go back myself.
Yes. So,
okay. I see. Yes, sir.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah, it is.
So stay with it. Work on you. You can't work on another person. Only they can do that, because most people love their hell. They don't want to be free from their misery. They love their hell. And so you just don't be angry at them. They have a right to live in their hell, and you wish them well, but you go your way and let them go their way so you don't have to be involved with their hell.
Yes, sir.
And so, and the last thing is, you're working right now, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
I get two jobs.
Yeah, nice. And as soon as you can, get yourself your own apartment, you know, something nice that you can afford in the beginning. One thing will lead to another. Save your money. Make sure you save 10%. Every time you get paid, no matter what, put at least 10% away. And save that for investment purposes, you know, things like that. And get your.
It's funny, I was actually doing that before she came down here. And when she came down here, I blew all my money. So I actually was kind of on my way to doing that. So,
yeah.
Now, do you recommend that I, like, go have, a church home and pay tithes and stuff like that?
You can maybe buy your church. Do you want to have a church on Sunday?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Watch that. Watch that and donate to Bond when you can.
Okay.
You'll be fine. But listen, but most importantly, I want you to encourage you to save your money, put 10% away, pay your bills with the rest, and stop spending your money on these women and all that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, Nicholas, you'll look around and you will have an amazing life. Words cannot express what will happen when you let life happen on its own. But you got to be working on you so you can overcome all of those false identities in your mind. You're not your thoughts. You're not your emotions. You're not your body. And so you will overcome those things if you work on yourself by being aware.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
You're welcome. Call me again, and I wish you well. Stay with the prayer, though, so you can stay out of your head and you can be present. Eternal life is right here all the time. God is with you at all times when you're present.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
I got one more. Should I do this? I should do the silent prayer for like an hour, or how long should I do?
You can start out 15, 20 minutes, whatever, 15 to 20 minutes, something like that. And then in due time, you'll find yourself just quietly sitting there for an hour, and it'll be like 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. I wish you well.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. God bless.
You too. 888-77-53773. So I'm being told that Stark Key had a comment or question he wanted to make about God, but I thought he was done. Sorry about that. Starkey, I thought you were done. Go ahead. You're back on the air.
No, I wasn't done. I thought you hung up on me and didn't like me.
No, not at all, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because I've heard a lot both ways and hear things both ways, but if Christ is not God with us, then what is he by definition, and what sets him apart, and why is he the ultimate, you know, end all, the last testament? What makes him so special? What message are we supposed to be getting from him? What message can we to deliver to others?
From Christ?
Yes.
The Christ is our brother. Christ, our Father, sent our brother Christ to save us from death, because death owned us at one time. In the Old Testament, death owned human beings, and there was no way out because human beings were guilty, and they were owned by death. The Father sent the Son, Christ, to save us from death, by destroying death, because death took him into hell, and he was not, he had not done anything wrong, so he wasn't supposed to be there. So he went, and he brought us back, for lack of a better word. And that's why he said that whatever he owned, we own it too, because we are his brothers. And so he saved us from that. And that's it. And we are grateful for that.
He did call us brothers in Scripture. He called us brothers.
Yeah, because he is. We were his brothers, but we were lost, meaning human beings were lost, and they couldn't get back home to the Father. And so the Father said, you know what, let me send my son out there for those who want to come back to the house. And he sent his son, and son came and made a way for us to go back home to the Father.
Yeah, and I believe that, Jesse. I really do. And I wonder, you say he's our equal, but then you say, you didn't say he said he was our equal, but you said he was our brother.
Right.
But kind of, you know, some people would interpret that, you know, like he's our equal. So he is the Son of God, right? So he's not like us. None of us are the direct Son of God, but he is our brother at the same time. Is that what I'm getting?
But you are a son of God right now. It's just that you've been turned away from God. God is your father. You are his son. But when you were born through your mother, she turned you away from him by turning you away from your earthly father. But you're still the son of God. You're just lost in the wilderness and don't know. You don't remember that you're the son of the father, but you're still the son.
So Jesus is represented in the scriptures as, you know, an immaculate birth or however they say that, where he didn't have a father. And I guess basically his mother was inseminated by angels or by God himself. So does that set him apart? I'm trying to understand what's the definition of Jesus that separates him from you and I and makes him the one, you know, like is he the Son of God?
But
because
Jesus,
he was.
No, go ahead. Finish your point.
Is he the Son of God because he was born without a father and literally his mother was inseminated by angels or by God himself? And, you know, obviously my mother wasn't that way. My mother, you know, was inseminated by my earthly father. So
right.
Are we different from the Christ in that way?
Well, Christ was... He does have a father. God is his father. And he was sent by his father, God, right? And likewise...
But not with a fleshly human father from what Scripture says.
Right. And in all honesty, you have a fleshly body and you were born of a fleshly body from the woman. But the real you was born of the Father, of God, because you don't know that you are a spirit. You have identified with everything but the spirit. You think you're up and down emotionally. You think you're an alcoholic. I'm just throwing out there. I don't know if you think that. But you think you're this and that, and it's not who you are at all. You're not your body. You're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings. You're not this and you're not that. You forgot that you are created in the image of God, because you were traumatized by your mother and turned away from him. But
yeah,
the same
I
spirit that Christ had is in you too. Christ is a spirit and so are you.
Yeah, I've listened to you because you say things that I felt my whole life since I was young.
Yes.
And I felt like an individual because every time I talked to anybody about it, like Christians, so-called believers and non-believers, they all dislike me and dislike my views.
Right, because they can't handle... They can't have the truth, and so they'll rather destroy you, try to destroy the truth, and they would rather believe the lie.
Yeah, I've never identified with anything. So whenever something happens, like if something happens in front of me from the time I was young, I've never thought, oh, this happened to me. Like I broke my back, and even breaking my back, I wasn't like, oh, this happened to me.
Right on.
I didn't identify with that way. I identified it in a way like I'm witnessing this happen, and it's an obstacle that I'm going to overcome.
Deep. Absolutely, man.
you're one of the only people I've ever heard talk that way. And I was like, wow, there is somebody else that feels that way.
Yeah, and the reason the truth is already in you. It's always been with you. And that's why. And I've noticed that since I've been doing for the last 35 years ago, I noticed that in most family, there's always one or two of the children, whether the brothers or the sisters, that are set apart. They're in the family, but they don't quite fit in the family. Like something is missing. And it's those boys and girls that are easily returned to the father. I mean, they just need somebody to point the right way back to the father. And you sound like one of those people.
Well, the issue that I've had is, you know, I've seek any information and all information. I feel like it's like Daddy left a letter behind. And, you know, I can't find my father, so I want to read that letter, but it seems like there's all these corrupt letters out there. So, like, you're trying to find the information your father left behind you, but, like, I go to one church, and, you know, you feel like you got it figured out, and you feel like, and you go there, and, of course, they're going to say you're believing things the wrong way. Well, if you align with them, and then you end up somewhere else, well, then you don't align with them. So it's like you can't find anybody that accepts you. When you show up face value and you say, hey, I am property of God, I know for a fact in God, they all look at you like, but are you doing it our way, you know?
Right.
And that's what's hard.
Well, from this point forward, don't look to it from a church. Don't look to it from the left or the right. Don't look to it anywhere but inside of you. I promise you, the kingdom of heaven is inside of you. And now that you're working your way back to that, you're going to live from that. You will literally live from the kingdom of heaven that's inside of you. And the kingdom is hidden from those who don't want it. They cannot see it. They won't be able to see it. They ain't going to see it because they don't want it. They'd rather have the lie than to have the truth. So don't try to prove anything to anyone. You just live your life 1 minute at a time, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I've tried to speak with, like, I had an issue with my earthly father, who I've forgiven and I love deeply, but he just wasn't there, and I think you know us as men, we will seek that. So when I seeked it, I always, when I was younger, I sought father figures, you know, that I thought were happy and righteous. So if you weren't happy and you weren't righteous and you didn't seem calm and you didn't seem well fit, you know, I wouldn't have anything to do with you. But some of these men I've looked up to, you know, they say that Jesus is God. And, you know, these are father figures to me. And when they say that, they bring up things in the Bible. And when I go and look at those things do seem to align with their point. So then, you know, I read the scriptures and I find a lot more things that align with him than the Son. But how do I even deal with somebody like that when they're hitting me with that?
By not
I look up to.
By not dealing with it. You don't need to deal with that with them. Let them believe whatever they want to believe. And do not for one iota of a second, do not try to convince them of anything. You cannot convince another human being of the truth. Only God will allow them to see the truth if they want to see it. Do not, it's all ego and it's vanity to try to convince someone of the truth. You can't do it.
Yeah, and I've never tried to convince anybody of anything because I know you're always like, I'm black and slow, but me, I'm a mixed breed and I'm all shook up. Like, I have a hard time, you know? So I'm always trying to go back to scripture. Like, if anybody, I don't sit in judgment of a man, like,
right.
You're property of God. He's going to do with you what he does. But I said in judgment of what a man says. So when they come to me, you know, I go and I try to investigate it in scripture. And it's the point when I go back and I'm like, hey, this is what you told me. And this is what's in scripture. And I've had it with preachers. I've had it with, you know, people I look up to. When I try to discuss them and literally, like, just point out the scripture, I mean, I get that look like I'm a demon or something.
But when they do it, though, Starkey, when they do it, you just, oh, okay, fine, and you walk away from it. Do not argue with people about the truth.
Yeah.
you can't convince them, don't argue with them. They don't want it. So you just wish them well and go your way. Don't be frustrated about it. Don't argue with them about it. Don't try to prove. I don't care who it is, Jesse Peterson, your daddy, your mama, the preacher, whomever. Don't try to argue with anyone about the truth, period. The truth can only be shown to those who want to see it by God. You or I cannot make anyone see the truth. Don't waste your breath. You're playing God when you do that.
Yeah, mostly I've tried to listen to people because I've always felt like such a child.
Right.
So I've always tried to listen to, men of etiquette that I would see visually as that way. So
you said men of what?
I don't try to convince any
you
men
said,
of etiquette. You know, that they have a good etiquette about them. So if they look prosperous and they look like they obey cardinal rules, then I have open ears.
Amazing. Well, drop it. Just live your life. You know the truth. It's in you. Stay present, and the Father will guide you. Did you forgive your earthly father?
Man, it was hard, but yeah, I did.
You told him?
I mean, even to this day, I wrestle hard with it, but I have. Yeah, I've forgiven him.
Did you tell him?
Yeah, I told him. Yeah, I told him I forgave him.
And what did he say?
He told me he forgave me, too, and then he drove away. Because I don't really allow him on my property. So he was driving by one day, and he stopped. And I said, you know, I forgive you. And he told me, he said, I forgive you, too. And he drove away. So.
Nice. Well, just
I don't know what he was forgiving me for. But
Right. Just forgive him. Don't be angry at him. Wish him well, but go ahead and live your life. You don't need, if he doesn't want to hang out, you don't need to deal with him. But just don't resent him and your mother, and you'll be fine.
Oh, it's hard. That's the hard one, is the not resenting him.
Why?
That's the real hard one.
Why?
But I'd say I'm 99% towards not doing that.
But you got to be 100.
I know you've heard a lot of stories.
99.5 won't do. You got to do 100.
My daddy is a wild one. He is wild.
What gave you the right to resent him?
I don't think that I have the right to resent him, and I see myself as having no right to, and that I shouldn't. But with the things that he has done, it's almost like getting shot, you know? And then later on, you know, you see a gun, and you have that flashback of getting shot. Like, when I see my daddy, it's like that flashback. It's like that.
Because you have not forgiven. When you forgive, you forget. And you need, no, I don't care what has happened. I don't care what he's done or what he will do or might have done or whatever, right? You don't have a right to resent him.
I agree 100% with you.
And so the next time that anger pops up inside of you, just notice it, but don't call it you. Don't identify with it. Don't argue with it. Don't try to prove it.
I don't have anger, Jesse. It's confusion. Like, I don't get angry at people. I get confused.
What are you confused about with your daddy?
Well, he all but killed my mama.
And do you blame him?
I don't know that I blame him, because I know that he was lost.
Yeah.
And I know that he can control himself or help himself.
Yep.
And he always dealt drugs, cocaine, pills, and every friend he ever had, that's how he would try to control them.
So everything, almost kill your mama, drug dealing and all that, it has nothing to do with you. That's on him. He had issues.
He did the same thing with my wife. He was giving my wife drugs, and he got her to where he was controlling her.
What?
And I don't hate him. I forgive him. And I try my one, like you said, to be that 100% not.
Well, keep him away from you and your family, though.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been doing that.
Hold on. I'm going to hold you for one more minute, folks. I'm going to let him go. Hold on, Starkey. Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment. Oh, the treasure chest is now open on D-Live. And I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Okay, welcome back. 888-775-3773. The Hake Report coming up at 9 a.m. at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He black. And after Joel Friday TV, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 12 noon. Today, Pacific time. All right? And for counseling, I know a lot of you try to get in for counseling. I do that myself, right? And a lot of you try to get in, but it's just jam-packed. But you still can make your appointment. And if somebody cancel or blah, 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 the office will let you know. All right? They will let you know. And it's counseling by phone, Skype, or walk-in. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663 to make your appointment. But be patient with the scheduler. What the? He's doing the best he could to get you in as quickly as possible, all right? Individual counseling, family counseling, whatever. But be patient with, and we counsel with people around the world. So, but just have to be booked right now for some reason. It's just really, so be patient. That's my whole point. We will get you in. And again, if you want to get in sooner, but the spot is not available right now, as soon as somebody drop or if they do, he will get to the next person in line and let you know. All right. Let me go quickly back to Starkey. Starkey.
Yes, sir.
So you say your father got your wife on drugs?
Yeah, he started giving her pills, and the next thing I know, she's never home. You know, I go to work, and I come home, the house is dirty. My daddy's got food. He's cooking for her. She's driving him places because he's a little older, you know. He's always done that with everybody. He tried to do it with me and my brothers.
Yeah.
And I seen it happen with my brother, and he would always give him pills and get him to do stuff. And when I was a child, he used to, 12, 13 years old, going to school in Charlotte, he would give me marijuana to take to school and sell, and I got busted at school because of it with his weed.
Amazing.
He used to pick cocaine in cars and then make me drive the cars.
Yeah.
And like, force me to be a runner. It was pretty rough, you know?
Yeah.
But it's what made me who I am, and I really do believe that I am exactly what God wants me to be. So I wouldn't change anything.
How old are you now?
I'm 43.
Oh, okay. You'll be fine. But in spite of all, so let me ask, your wife, is she back to normal now? Is she all right now?
No, she
she is her own person, which I disagree with. I always wanted, when I met her, I wanted to be best friends, and I wanted to have a relationship that adhered with the scripture and with what the Creator would have for us. She told me she wanted that, but over time, I've witnessed that that wasn't possible. And now that we've been together, I mean, we've been together a long time, and I love her more than any other woman on earth. But it's wild, you know. It's wild to try to deal with and handle.
You have children with her?
I do, and that's why I've stayed with her. I have twins. We have a daughter who passed away. And we have an older son, so four children.
And so she's still on the drugs, though?
She's not so much on the drugs, but she's, you know, like peers in her nose without telling me, and I'm like, okay, you know.
She what in her nose? You said she does what in her nose?
She recently pierced her nose. She cut her hair short. She cut her hair short. I mean, shorter than mine, like Army crew cut. Which I know everybody's all-inclusive nowadays, and I tell her I don't like it, and she basically don't care, you know.
Why do you keep her around?
The main reason that I have stayed with my wife is because, for two reasons. The number one reason is I find in scriptures, when I was younger, I've read scriptures because I wanted to leave her, and what I found in scriptures was that there was no mandated reason in scripture that you could leave your woman unless she cheated on you. And she had not done that at that point. And
has she cheated already now?
I believe she has. But the other situation was that once we had children, and maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right, but I felt that I needed to be the best father that I could be, and I felt that my main responsibility as a father was to teach my children that the Creator exists, and then behind that foundation, teach them how to be real men, real men.
Are the kids adults?
Not quite yet. I got a few more years, but the situation with not leaving her due to that was I was not willing to have another man be in their life and manipulate them mentally in any way, shape, or form, and remove them from my ability to have time with them. So that those two reasons are the reasons I never left her.
And so one last thing that I got to run here. Does she participate in the family?
Like, she didn't until recently, but I made her go get a job because she wasn't doing anything except for acting like a roommate, and a dirty one at that.
Yeah.
So I told her she had to go get a job. I was like, if you're not going to do anything but be a roommate, then you need to pay bills like a roommate. So she's been paying bills.
Nice. Amazing. Are you able to kick her off the farm but keep the kids?
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
I think that it could put her in an unsafe situation. And it could put the children in an unsafe situation.
If you got rid of her without the kids, we don't care about her situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
So if she end up getting in an unsafe situation, that's her problem, not yours. But I don't want you to lose your children right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't want her unsafe situation to magnetize my children into it. Because
right.
I do believe that if I let her go, I know where she's going to go, and I know what that means, and I know that they're going to feel free to go see her, and I wouldn't, as a father, try to keep them from seeing their mother. They're their own men and should make their own decisions. And I know it would put them in a situation where they would see and experience demons and devils, you know?
Well, let me do this because of time. Are you doing the silent prayer?
I've been doing silent prayer my whole life. That's another one of those things I can't believe, you know, somebody else understands and does.
Well, stay with the silent prayer. Stay present instead of losing your head about tomorrow or yesterday. And God will guide you through this whole situation. You'll be fine.
Yes, sir.
Let me know how it goes,
sir.
All right?
Hey, it's good talking to you, Jesse. I think you're awesome.
You too, man. Thank you. And stay away from your father. Don't let him around your family. Don't let him around your land. And be done with him. Just don't be angry at him. He could not help himself. He'd been traumatized. He's in hell. He literally could not help it. But so you don't be angry at him at all, but don't let him around your family. Don't have anything to do with him. Just don't be angry at him.
Yes, sir.
All right?
I agree. Yes, sir.
Let me know how it goes.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Amazing. Hell is busy. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. There's one line open there. One line open. Let me do this, and then I get back to the calls, because we haven't done the Super Chats in a minute, and I want to catch up with them. Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Ronnie from Ohio bought three coffees. When Jesus was baptized, he and those around him heard a voice from above, according to Luke 3:22, Matthew 3:17, Mark 1:11. I believe Jesus does not equal God, but for those that think Jesus equals God, whose voice do they think Jesus heard?
That's right. Jesus, I don't care what somebody else said about in the Bible about Jesus, but Jesus never called himself God. He said, my Father. He said, we are his brothers. If he is his brother, what are you saying that you God's brother? What the? But I understand. You believed into a lie, and it's difficult not to believe that lie. I totally understand. So suffer. Live in your hell. Live in your misery. And everyone who believes Jesus God has fear. They have no love. They have anger. They play God. They judge themselves and others. They think they know what they want because they're believing in hell and calling it God. Thank you.
Riley J.M. bought three coffees twice. He says, hey, Jesse, there's some verse that says, if I don't hate my parents and even my own life, that I can't be his disciple, Jesus' disciple. I read this verse years ago and started to hate, literally hate, my parents because the Bible said so. I eventually saw that I have no reason to hate anyone and went to and forgave. I'm curious, what does that verse mean? Luke 14:26, the definition of hate that Jesus gave has to be different from the one I know of.
It just means don't put your parents or anyone before what's right. Don't put them first. Forgive them, but seek first the kingdom of God, what's right, along with nobody else or nothing else. You got to let everything go, meaning that stop identifying with anything, and you can't make yourself stop identifying. Just, you need to see that you do, and you'll be able to overcome it. Seeing will cause you to overcome it. But you got to not put them or anyone before anyone else. He doesn't mean, like, go around and hate them. It just means don't put them before God.
It's like when God said, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. The black Hebrew Israelites think that means God hates white people.
What a mess! Thank you.
It's me, Zenya. Donated on a Rumble rant. Keep on singing, Jesse. Musical notes emoji. Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you, and thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Orlando Ollie donated on Bond JLP Cash App. The devil is the world's author, JLP.
Amazing.
Quote from JLP.
Thank you.
Krev bought 10 coffees. Very generous. He said, I had to buy you guys coffee. That Bible Thumper segment is fire.
It's on fire. And thanks for the coffee. Thanks for the coffee. Appreciate it.
Evgeny Crosby gave a diamond, and he wrote, no message, in brackets.
Thank you. Amazing.
He gave another diamond, also in brackets, reading, also, no message.
Thank you.
Shout out to the top contributors, Evgeny Crosby, Stan 69, Games for Rec, Cobra Mist, and the rest of the supporters on the DLive crew. And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Thank you. Amazing. How did Cold Burger Art come up with that name? Every time I hear it, I just think of Mr. Dillon.
he's just an alpha. I think he was a born alpha.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Kohlberger Art.
But then he turned beta, then he had to turn alpha again.
He turned beta. It sounds like you expect Mr. Dillon to walk into the office with boots and his guns on his side, and he ain't smiling.
Is this Gunsmoke?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you missed it. Check it out.
Okay, how?
I don't know. Well,
maybe on the internet somewhere.
On TV, you can find old movies, I'm sure.
True.
Cowboy movie.
Right on.
Amazing. Let me go back and thank you all for your support. I absolutely appreciate it. Jabe, I want you to respond to one quick soundbite.
Okay.
Because we had a long discussion about water.
Okay.
Remember I said inside of us, we got this thing that let us know when we want water.
Yeah.
But the marketplace out here, commercials and the money-making people made you think you need to carry water around everywhere. And then they made you think that you need to carry it around in a special bottle.
Yes.
And then they made you think that and everybody walked around toting water.
Uh-huh.
Right? We had a discussion about that, right?
I remember.
I have proof that you have been tricked into drinking water with no sense. Watch this from Instagram.
What did we just watch? A whole big contraption.
All with the water.
With the water bottle being the central thing. So what was happening for the podcast listeners was she filled up a complicated water bottle with complicated looking ice rings and a phone, perfume maybe, woman's hands doing all this stuff. Zipping things up, putting them in, and it's a mess.
That's what she does every time she go out for a walk.
Oh, my goodness. That's too much. I used to be kind of complicated like that. Well, used to be.
Used to be?
I use, to my credit, plastic bags from the grocery store.
She does that every time she go out for a walk. She had to have her water, so she got to have all that. Amazing.
Terrible. fully charged phone that you stick into a toaster phone charger thing.
Yeah. We'll show it again on tomorrow to Lourdes Win on Friday.
Okay.
Let me go to, that's crazy. And speaking of plastic bags, California trying to pass a law where they want to get rid of all plastic bags.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And it's up.
Yeah, that's
all plastic bags. Alice is out of Texas. Alice, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How are you?
All is well, Alice.
Good, good. You had the question that are emotions necessary?
The biblical question, are emotions necessary?
I say yes.
And why do you say yes?
Because I feel that joy is an emotion. And the scriptures say the joy of the Lord is our strength. And also the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
And so do you feel that they, but you talked about the Lord's joy, but I'm talking about human beings.
Human joy?
Yeah.
I don't think that that's necessary, but when I think of human, I think of happiness as human.
You ain't never seen a happy. You ain't never seen no happy human.
Well, you might be right about that. You may be right about that.
So, are emotions necessary?
Well, human emotions, no, they're not.
And why not?
Because what we get comes from the Lord. And without the Lord, there is no joy. And without him, we are nothing and can be nothing and can do nothing.
Amazing. Well, I appreciate your 2 cents in that. And I appreciate you putting your 2 cents in. I put my 2 cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate you, Jeff.
Right on, Alice. Thank you.
Okay.
Amazing. Okay. Right now. Amazing. Let me go quickly to Joe out of Massachusetts. Joe, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
I had a quick question about Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Just to get a little understanding. So Eve spoke to the serpent, fell. Adam followed, which put us in the fallen state, which in turn made us search for the love of our Father, which in turn we tried to find that love from women in order to have babies. And then to get out of the fallen state, I'm trying to understand, was it God's will? Did God let the serpent into the garden and let us fall in order that we chase each other around and have babies? Does that make sense?
Well, one thing for sure is that if you were not in the fallen state, you would not be able to make babies. And that's why once you make all your babies, you get married, you have as many children as you want, you stop having the sex and all that, so you can overcome the fallen state.
Okay, so then God uses Satan in order to put us in the fallen state, in order to make babies, and then we're supposed to find our way out?
Right, but he didn't use Satan for that reason. It was Eve who obeyed Satan, and as a result, that came about. Because believed in Satan, she became egotistical like Satan. She thought she could be God. And then Adam listened to her, and the woman became his God, and in that fallen state, they were able to make those babies. Because even the woman is the man's God, and Satan is the woman's God.
Right, okay. Because I'm thinking that Satan was allowed to control us. God allows him to control us or manipulate us in order to be in the fallen state. What I'm trying to say, so that God doesn't have to create us daily, no?
Well, he didn't want, the one thing, he allowed the fallen state to happen so he can create us without having to do it with his hand from the dust, right? With his hand. And then it also gave us a choice of whether we want to return home or not. Because he wanted us to love us. He wanted us to love him because we want to love him, not because we were forced to love him.
Okay. All right, Jesse. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Darren out of Texas. Darren.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Darren. Go ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to talk about how there was a conversation between you and, like, a super chat.
Yes.
Conversation. And it was about Christianity and Judaism. Based off of what I've seen and what I've noticed, you know, studying a little bit, not too much, but a little bit, is that Judaism is Christianity. Christianity is just a word. We're all
no, Jews. Christianity is Judaism because Christianity came from Judaism.
Yes, but what I've noticed was that Jesus, all Jesus did was extend his hand out to the people that wasn't Jews.
because the Jews didn't believe him. They didn't want the truth.
But there were Jews. There were Jews that did believe him. Not all the Jews. Just like all the Christians don't believe him. Now most Christians don't even believe him. But if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity. Jerry, we got to get cut off. Call me tomorrow if you can.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy. I am so out of time, folks. Really, I tried. Lord, no, I tried to get to everyone, but I am so out of time. Darren, call me back on that tomorrow. The Hate Creep, and thank you all for your super chats, and we'll finish about those tomorrow as well. Thank you. The Hate Report coming up now. And after the Hate Report, Joel Fries on TV, he'll be like, and then the American Anchor Baby. Go and donate at rebuildingtheman.com. Give something. Rebuildingtheman.com or call 800-411-BOND. We got a lot of work to do. And get on that straight and narrow, folks, and stay there. If you want to know the truth, you will, but you're not going to know it unless you want it. The truth will not come unless you want it. You got to be open arm for it, all right? Forgive your parents. No matter what happens, forgive. Even if you don't have to deal with them anymore, you don't have to deal with them. Just don't resent them. And don't hold anything against yourself. And you'll understand why. I'm out of time. The Hate Report, tomorrow's Open Line Friday. Do the silent prayer at rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. All right? I'm out of here. Hake is coming up, and he has muscles. Check out Hake Muscles today. He's on it today. Have a good one, folks. Thank you all.
Bible Thumper.
Bible Thumper Thursday. So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer, and I want you to start doing it. You just download it, get the points of how to do it, and then after a while, you just do it on your own. It's going to point you in the right direction that your life will be returned to you from God. He will give you your life back, because anyone and all people who has anger, they're not themselves. You are the person that you are angry at. That's why it's so important to get to know yourself so that you can see who you're angry at. And if you're doing the hooping and hollering prayers and things like that, some people get up, oh, praise the Lord, hoop and holler, bless my mama, bless my daddy. Continue to do it. Do both. You will see if you want to stay with the hooping and hollering or do you want to be still and know God. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.
Like, my cousin, like, sent me you, and I thank him for that. It was more of a, you know, he thinks the whole, like, everything's a joke. That just adds a little spice to it. But in the heart of what you're saying, there is real things going on.
Yeah.
People want to overlook that. And I'm telling you, Mr. Peterson, I'm not one of those people. And I thank God that, you know, he showed you to me. And sometimes we just need some Jesse in our lives, I guess.
Thank you, Chris.
I wish we had more brothers like you. We need more brothers like you. This, because a lot of, we don't have more, most guys that can, you know, stand, lead black people into the right direction. And I thank you for that, because a lot of people will be like, man, it's still going on. It's racism. Yeah. And I try to tell them, like, watch his show. Listen to this brother. He's telling the truth.
Take no thought about tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't exist. And you're going to see, man, God is with us and all is well.